This is Will's Band of the Week for June 15th, 2014. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
At an undisclosed location.
Right. You were going to be here, but you know what? You missed out on something by not being here in person.
Did you get some special scotch or something?
Well, it's not really special, but it was going to be a little interesting thing. I have this Kentucky bourbon. Here, maybe we can hear it. Hear that?
Yeah.
My wife was recently in Kentucky, and she toured the Maker's Mark distillery. And so then I did this little thing. So she bought this souvenir bottle of Maker's Mark bourbon. But she said, this is off limits. You can't have this. And I thought, that probably would be pretty uncool for me to just steal her bourbon and drink
sure.
it. So I wasn't going to do that. But so I went to Trader Joe's and I bought the Trader Joe's Kentucky bourbon. And the other day, I did a little taste test because I thought, I don't drink bourbon that much. I like scotch more and, you know, beer, you know. But every once in a while, I have some bourbon, and I think it's okay. So I got this Trader Joe's bourbon, and I thought, let's do a little taste test. So I thought, you know, she won't be mad if I just take a tiny, tiny bit so I can compare the two.
Right.
And so when I did the taste test, the Trader Joe's stuff is like half the price. I think it's like $15 for a bottle, you know, and a bottle of Maker's Mark is what? It's probably $25 to $30, right? So I verified that the Maker's Mark is in fact better.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. It's just, and the first sip is kind of similar, but then the Maker's Mark goes down much smoother.
Right.
So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah. I was going to have you at least try the Trader Joe's. We weren't going to break into my wife's Maker's Mark. But
right.
Sometimes it's fun to try the, you know, the cheaper stuff just to see. You always have this hope that the cheap stuff will be like, you'll feel like you got a steal, right? You got something
right.
really good for the price. And a lot of the Trader Joe's stuff is pretty good for the price. It's usually not quite as good as the more expensive stuff, but sometimes it's
right.
close enough, you know.
JJ went out and got some vodka this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you're going to make a screwdriver with it, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
But she made a martini, and it was terrible.
Was it that, Trader
like
Joe's
that
or
big
something?
Yeah, Trader Joe's. It's called, like, Vodka of the Gods.
Okay.
And you gave it's like,
so
like
kinda,
this big 2-liter bottle for like $12.
Yeah, if it's ever a big bottle, you know that's probably a bad sign, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So, you
so
know,
there you go.
We're kind of good on
careful
this.
Careful with the Trader Joe's stuff.
We're good on this podcast with liquor taste tests, right?
Yeah.
Not by phone,
you know,
though. Can't do
what
it.
I'll do. I'll bring some Maker's Mark over next time we get together.
Sounds good.
I feel like getting some.
Sure.
And then we can do a taste test. Or is the one that she got, is it, so that's a souvenir bottle, but it's just
yeah.
it's the same contents, right? But
it's just yeah. She tried. There's one called like Maker's Mark 46 or something.
Uh-huh.
She tried that one too. But the souvenir she got, I think, is just the standard stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. She said the tour was great. By the way, she really got into it.
Yeah. When
so it was super
we
cool.
Met you guys out at Gates and Brovey, and I heard her telling JJ about. Louisville and Kentucky in general. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, she liked the
city. She really liked it.
Yep. My wife is Southern. She's from Florida, for you people out there who didn't know. And so she really appreciated the, you know, sort of Southern feel, even though, you know, Louisville, Kentucky is sort of central geographically, right? But it would be
yeah.
more identified with a Southern culture.
Right.
Than
I mean, it's not really much further south than Cincinnati, is it?
Right. Yeah, just a little
bit. But Cincinnati is definitely a northern city.
But I bet Cincinnati would have a feel of kind of sort of a like a combination. Right? I don't know. I haven't spent enough time in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's Ohio.
Yeah.
Which is solidly northern state.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess we still look at things along Civil War boundaries, you know?
Yeah.
Kentucky, even though Kentucky and Ohio and Indiana and Illinois are all really, you know, basically touching.
Right.
You know, Kentucky just and Tennessee are the South.
Yeah.
Even though they're like the northern South.
Right.
But they were on the... you know, the Confederate side when we kicked their asses.
We beat them. We're on the team that won.
Yeah.
We can associate ourselves with a winning team.
Not only the winning team, but it was the history has proven us to be the, we were on the right side.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yep. History tends to prove that we are correct, doesn't it? Just generally.
It does.
People will, like, 100 years from now, they'll be like, the Will's Band of the Week podcast was correct about music all along. And anybody who disagreed with us was kind of behind history or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. We move forward. We don't move backwards. Even as we talk about things from the past, we're actually moving forward.
Right.
Yep. That, I guess that means we were progressive rock, right? Isn't that a funny term? It's like Yes and King Crimson and Jethro Tull or whatever. That was supposed to be progressive rock. It was like rock music progressing to like to be more like classical, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
A funny term,
I'm not
isn't
a
it?
Prog rock guy at all.
I'm not too much of one either. Although some of that old Yes, I kind of I get a when I picture Rick Wakeman with like four keyboards on each side of him, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's really funny, and there's something about it, just the whole excess of it, you know, sort of in a being a rock thing. Yeah. Well, we tried to get Chris this week, but he had various reasons that he was not available.
I thought it was just the one reason.
Well, there were two.
The basketball game.
Yeah. For tonight, it was he has to watch LeBron James. Last I checked, they were getting crushed. LeBron James' team was getting crushed.
Good.
Yeah. Do you not?
I don't even know why I care. I don't really care.
I don't care that much.
But I've just always read that he's a big jerk, so...
I kind of go with the counter on him where I think that he's so good that everyone should just concede that this is the best basketball player in the world and just appreciate it that you can watch him, you know?
Well, no, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But
whether he's a jerk,
don't you still want him to fail?
Yeah, well, I don't know. No, I don't guess I you know, I was really turned off by the whole thing when he did a press conference to announce that he was leaving Cleveland for Miami. That was like super tacky, you know, when he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, you know, that was a bad PR thing. But I, you know, I don't know if he's like a really bad guy in other respects. And when you think about it, if you're a guy like him, you can't be like a normal person anyway, right? The best you can expect from a person in that scenario is that they'll give a lot of money to charity and hopefully be respectful to people. But yeah, even that, you know, when you're surrounded by an entourage everywhere you go. I don't know.
Right.
Hard to say.
And in the scheme of things that, you know, ESPN show, the decision where he did that.
Yeah,
he made himself out to be a real tool, but he didn't hurt anybody, you know.
Right.
The people in Cleveland, he hurt their feelings. But other than that,
yeah,
nobody really got hurt. But I just still don't like the guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I want to see his team lose.
And there's something about the team they're playing is San Antonio, and they've got these old, boring veterans. So mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. Like Tim Duncan, right? He's like so boring.
He's like 38 years old.
He's like, remember Yvon Lendl, the tennis player?
Mm-hmm.
He was so hard to root for because he was so boring. Like he would never make a facial expression, and you're just like, I can't root for this guy. But there's something about Duncan, he's kind of that way. He's just workmanlike. But he's so just consistent, you know? And it's kind of, you can't not appreciate that.
He just looks like such a dullard. You know that look? He's got that look on his face. Like
Right, yeah.
Like,
Right. Isn't it funny what the things that we use to decide whether we want to root for somebody is like some stupid look on their face and you like them or you hate them.
I don't like that guy. Looks like a bore.
Yeah.
I'm root for that guy.
Right.
But I don't know.
That's kind of what sports rooting is, right? It's just sort of ridiculous, vicarious, like not logical thinking, you know?
Right.
So, well, the dogs joined me. You haven't joined me, but the dog's here. Come on up here. You can have Barrett's chair. Come on, right here. Yep, he's going to take the cushy chair here in the studio.
Oh, he's got Chris's chair.
So I have, this isn't really music news, but it's kind of the musical thing that I did this week. Mm-hmm. I went and I watched that Launchpad State Rock Band competition thing again. I've told you about this before, haven't I?
Yeah.
And the finals, every year, they do the finals in Madison. So they have four regionals with like a dozen bands. So say there's like 50 bands statewide, and they have to have somebody from high school, and they have to have a person who is in a school music program. I think it used to be that everybody had to be in high school, but now they even have, some bands have middle schoolers. They'll have like eighth graders in the band. But so figure maybe 50 bands, and then the top three bands out of each regional make the final, and then they pick a wild card band. So there are 13 bands that make the finals. And then they just line them up, and they all play, and they get like 15 minutes, and the bands are like 25 minutes apart. So they'll play like 12 to 15 minutes, and then it moves along reasonably quickly. And it's just, I just think it's just a blast to watch. I'm like this dork, right? I'm like the old man watching the high school bands. and Grant went, but he was hanging out with his friends. So I went for the first band, and I'm sitting in like the second or third row, and I get this message on my phone, and it's a picture that Grant took of me from above. Like this dork sitting, I looked ridiculous, you know, but you know, so
where
it goes.
Where was it?
It was at the set at Union South.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good setting for it, really. It's a big, open kind of bar area with lots of seating. And they set up chairs, like they line them up so that people can, you know, sit and watch the bands.
That's where we watched that basketball game, right?
Right, right.
That's the set.
That's the set, yep. So it's cool because you're watching these bands, and then the next one comes up, and you don't know what it's going to be like. It could be a metal band. It could be, you know, sort of a, you know, band with a horn section, or it could be, you know, a power pop band. And, you know, they're mostly kind of rock bands, but you don't really know what's coming up next. And it's just cool. And it's just so fun to see the enthusiasm they have. You know, some of them are really nerdy and some are like over showboating, but they're all just trying so hard. And it's just, I find it so entertaining. So you might be more into it, like when Wilson's in high school, or if he's ever in a band, because then you sort of like, you know, when your kid's that age, it kind of makes you more interested, I think, in a certain age group. So,
Right. Anyway,
I highly recommend it. And the band that won is this guy who my son knows a little bit, and he's just a super, like, just music is the guy's life. And he put together a band that had a 5-person horn section. And then 4 other people. So there's 9 people on the stage, and they were super professional sounding. The horn section was not just a bunch of, you know, dorks trying to play horns. They were super coordinated, and it was pretty good. You know, like you were thinking, sorry, other bands, you just got beat out by a professional band.
Right.
You know, so that was cool. Pretty cool. And then, of course, there are all these parents. So some people I'd run into who I knew, but I had no idea that they, you know, that their kid was playing in this guy's band or whatever, you know, because there's so many people in the band. So I guess they had, in a way, they have a home field advantage. But there were bands from pretty far away that brought a lot of people, like some band from the Eau Claire area that had like 15 people travel down, you know. Like some are like siblings and parents and stuff, but it was pretty cool. It was a lot of support for a lot of the bands. So there you go. I don't know how many other states have similar things, but I guess they've been doing this for like maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 years now. And it's all sponsored by the Les Paul Foundation. So I guess Les Paul gave money or something and, you know, wanted to support this kind of a thing. So they set this whole thing up through the school music programs of all the state schools. So there's a lot of talk in between the bands about how great a guy Les Paul was. There's this guy, the MC, and he's constantly saying, Les Paul would have loved that one. And he's like, everybody who had a Les Paul guitar, there were three people in these bands who happened to have Sunburst Les Paul guitars. And every single one of them, the host guy said, you either worked really hard or you've got really, really nice parents, because that is quite a guitar right there. That's the classic Les Paul Sunburst guitar. And he said the exact same thing for everybody who had one. It was pretty funny. So, all right, there's your report.
Were you one of the only people that didn't have a child or sibling in the competition?
Yeah, probably.
Or were there other people that were there just to be entertained?
Just about everybody there, it seemed to me, had some affiliation with somebody who was playing, you know.
Right.
It, you know, Grant and two of his friends were there, and Grant and his band were in the competition in the regionals last year, so
right,
they have participated, but you know, they're just there watching as music fans, so
right.
But other than us, there weren't too many, probably. But I thought it was kind of cool, because it was like, think of all the things that high schoolers do and the different types of competitions there are, and you know, all the sports, and then all the, you know, debate team and all the different stuff. And this is kind of the same thing, but it's with rock bands. So you got, right, some of the bands, they have t-shirts, you know, and all their parents are wearing a t-shirt for the band. And sometimes it's a little dorky, but it's also kind of just fun to see everybody supporting everybody else. There was one band that I described as sort of an indie rock sounding band. There were a lot of bands that were more leaning toward the heavy metal. But they're okay to watch. You know, they weren't like, right, a turn-off heavy metal, really. Some of them were just humorous. Like, there was one band called Outbreak, and they started their set with the drummer wearing a gas mask. It was supposed to be this whole story, you know, about an outbreak of some germ or something. So it was like,
right,
a thematic band, and the judges loved them. They got one of the awards, so... Anyway, okay, there's my report. So if you have a thing like that, it's pretty cool. It's fun to see. They aren't jaded. These people aren't jaded by the music industry yet. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's very good. Very,
yep,
nice.
So I'll give an update of what Chris is watching. The score right now is San Antonio 71, Miami 50.
Wow.
And it's in Miami. So
okay. So yeah.
That's at the half. Wow. 71 points in the half.
Oh my God! So it's going to be 142 to 100.
Yep, if that continues, yes,
that's right.
That's what would happen. That was very, very good of you to double that so quickly.
Did you? Right.
It's good math.
Well, while we're giving scores here, I don't have the Brewer game on. What happened to them tonight?
I have no idea. Let's check. Hold on. They lost 6-2.
Oh.
It says Slam spoils things for Estrada. He gave up a grand slam.
That would be the difference there.
Yeah. You don't give up grand slams and win. For those of you unfamiliar, a grand slam is when the bases are loaded and somebody hits a home run, and that's four runs.
Yep.
So for the, about 17% of our audience that didn't know that, we've now educated them. Right?
There's a lot of them, I think.
It might even be like 30%.
Because, well, yeah,
they'd be music fans, and some are like in Europe, you know, where baseball isn't really popular. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We still respect you.
Some people that don't care about baseball.
Right. Exactly. I was listening to an interview of the Sound Opinion guys did an interview with these guys called the Baseball Project. And Peter Buck and Mike Mills from REM are involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And they all they do is songs about baseball. Like, every song is about baseball. And
yeah,
and they were talking about how, you know, a lot of musicians couldn't give just absolutely don't care about sports whatsoever. So they,
right,
think this is ridiculous, you know, that people would even care about baseball. But then there's like this small group of people who have like fantasy sports teams and stuff. And they were saying that Mike Mills from REM is just like a total dork, you know, just going crazy on, like, he's got like six fantasy teams in every sport.
So, oh my God.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So does that hurt his rock and roll cred? I don't think it does.
It shouldn't.
No, I think it just makes him
makes him a more well-rounded person.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got a broad range of interests.
Yeah.
You know,
Renaissance man.
It's like, I like doing this podcast and listening to music, but I also like eating food. a lot.
Yes.
And
do you like making food?
Sleeping. You know, I have really diverse things that I like doing. Yeah, every once in a while, like yesterday, I made some popcorn in the microwave.
Oh.
So I'm pretty good. I like, there's a lot of different things I can do.
Do you always make popcorn in the microwave?
No. We've got a variety here in the household. We've done the old-fashioned way where you just take a pot and you
That's the best.
I love it. And you just you have to have just, you know, a pretty decent one, right? You have like a large pot and you throw the popcorn in the bottom and some oil and you just rock the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fun way to do it.
Way, way easier than you would think before you do it.
Yeah.
You
know? It's not bad at all.
No. Right. You're moving it back and forth and you can kind of hear it start to pop. And then as soon as it stops popping,
yeah,
turn the heat off. Boom. It's perfect every time.
That's totally underrated as a method.
It is.
But then, you know, we'll do the microwave prepackaged stuff sometimes. And then I got this microwave bowl specifically designed to make popcorn in the microwave. It actually works really well. And the thing about it is you can put as much or as little oil in there as you want. So if you want to have like a, you know, like a healthier snack and sacrifice the better taste of the oil, you can just decide to have one that's like a low fat one. Or if you want the salt to really stick, you know, you use more oil. But it works. It actually works. It's like some kind of technological design that allows it to like cook or pop really well in the microwave.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Creates some kind of a heat vortex, probably.
I think it does, yeah. It has some kind of, probably whatever it's made out of, like, gets hot without, like, wrecking the microwave. You know, like metal causing a spark and stuff. So I still don't understand microwaves. So it's basically, it's magic, isn't it? You do, like, you press a button and just by magic, it heats things.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it either.
When are they going to have the reverse microwave that will like freeze stuff really fast?
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
Like you just put you could put an ice cube tray in there and then press it and like 30 seconds later you got ice cubes. That somebody needs to do that, right?
Yeah.
I think we
could. So if it would be the opposite of a microwave, so it would be a macrowave.
Yeah, that could be it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, somebody needs to get to work on that.
Yeah. We don't
of course,
really.
You could just buy some liquid nitrogen too.
Yeah. Dry ice.
Mm-hmm.
One time I had to ship something and my wife was, it was one of those like moments where you're kind of like, you're just like, you're stressed because you're trying to get something done and you know, you're at like a stressful moment of your life or whatever. And my wife had this, she wanted to send some cheese or something that had to be cold to Florida. She's like, just get this out of here and you have to like find some dry ice or something. And I'm like, okay, I went to the Babcock ice cream store and I said, do you have any dry ice? I need to mail something. And then I had to learn all about how it only lasts for like 24 hours or something. And I think they ended up telling me that I had to just, it wasn't worth it to try to use the dry ice to send it to Florida. Just package it really well. And they were like, it'll get down there and it won't be ruined yet. But I don't know. There's a whole deal like with packaging cold things. And I was a novice, and I think I still am. I didn't learn much from that. So I don't know what did I just say? You know, that was kind of pointless, wasn't it? I'm trying to see how long we can go without talking about music. It shows that we're well-rounded, right?
Yes. We're going on, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, we're about 20
minutes. I haven't even talked about music except kind of, you know, talked about Mike Mills for a minute.
Right, yeah.
That band, The Baseball Project, is coming to Appleton.
What a weird place.
They've got this thing called the Mile of Music. Have you heard about this?
Is it at like the baseball stadium in Appleton?
No. No, it's kind of a little festival they have.
Cuz they have that Appleton where the like what is it?
The Timbler Rattlers?
Yeah, right, right. So where are they playing?
Just all along College Avenue. There's I think some outdoor stages and so there'll be lots of different bands over a weekend.
Will they have the celebrities? And, like, will Mills and Peter Buck be there?
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
They should be, right? That would be. They'd be, like, dissing the band to not show up to their gigs. If you're going to be in the band, you got to show up for the gigs, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, that'd be totally uncool if they don't. So they got my message, at least.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see some good summer music this year. And we'll be able to report after going on assignment. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Although I saw a band last week.
Who was it?
I can't remember the name, but they were playing at the Naughty Gal. on the north side of Lake Mendota.
Anurag wanted me to post a video. Yeah. No, that was me. That was me in the classic rock band. Yeah.
That was good, you know? You guys ended real strong.
I told my friends that sometimes you gotta not be a music snob. Just go play some party rock. Because then you get to go play some music, right?
Right. No, that looked fun. That looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Nice setting. You've got like the
lake right behind us.
Lagoon or the lake back there. And,
right.
A lawn with some people and everybody's having beers and had some dancing going on. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good time.
Absolutely.
And Will was wearing a psychedelic furs t-shirt to, I don't know if that was intentional or if you were subconsciously trying to distance yourself from the set list.
Yeah, it was a little bit, there was some intentional thought in that. As I was looking through the, which ratty old t-shirt am I going to wear for this thing, I was thinking, yeah, I think psychedelic furs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was okay, right?
Bob Seger tour shirt.
Bob Seger in the Silver Bullet Band shirt. Yeah.
One of our baristas has that. And when she wears it, it's obviously ironic, right? But if one of us wore it, I don't think people would look at it that way.
It would look pretty serious, yeah. Like if we wore a 38 Special shirt, right? People would never get like the whole attitude thing. They would be like, "Wow, that old guy loves 38 Special." That's all they would think, right?
I've got to get a 38 Special t-shirt and wear it to go to Pitchfork and wear it.
Yeah. That would be worth it.
See if people think like, yeah, what would they think?
I don't know.
That old guy's wearing that shirt ironically, or I don't think they would. Yeah. They'd be like, he must be chaperoning his son.
This is when you go to the Pitchfork Festival, man, that's pretty serious, right? Like what shirt should I wear when I go down there?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to really think about this. It's going to have to be studied very carefully. I mean, you can always be safe and like, I've got a Yola Tango shirt. That would always be safe, right?
That would be very safe.
Maybe
I just went with a plaid short sleeve button up shirt.
Yeah, you didn't, you were like, that's kind of being like cooler than cool because you're not going to be like bound by like some band or something, right?
I guess you could look at it like that.
I was thinking maybe my Tech 21 NYC shirt. Because
you talking about that.
That's a company that makes effects pedals. So then only the cool people would know what that is. So
and all the other kids would be like Googling it on their phones, trying to figure out what it is.
What's a Tech 21? And then they'll be like,
what's that cool? Wow. What's that old guy's shirt?
Yeah, that guy's old, but he's got a Tech 21 shirt. So he must be sort of cool. Boy, that kid with him must be lucky to have a cool dad like that. Yeah, that's what they'll be thinking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the kid, he won't be with me. He'll take off on me and he'll go see like Death Grips, you know, stuff like that. I'll go watch some of that stuff too.
You know, the kids that saw your t-shirt would probably just think that was like a medical device manufacturer.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got that free with your pacemaker.
Exactly. That's right. I got a Tech 21 pacemaker. Yeah. Maybe it'll be a cool pacemaker at least. Like, you could have a pacemaker that has like distortion settings. Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. Yeah. All right. I'm going to try to get one of those if I ever need one. I hope I won't, though. Okay. All right. Let's see. Is the podcast over yet? No, we've got music. Okay. I told you this earlier this week. I said, you know what? I've been listening to a lot of music, but then a new Bob Mould album came out. It just moved itself to the top of the list. It's like, okay, everybody get out of the way because there's a Bob Mould album. And the last Bob Mould album, how many albums does he have now? Probably, don't even count Husker Du, which was what, 8 albums or so?
Right.
And I bet there are, you know, 10 or more Bob Mould albums now.
Right.
So, you know, I thought his last one from a couple of years ago was my favorite one that he ever did. And this one seems to be on that caliber. I really like it. It's just totally rocking. So, and you know, all these things that we talk about with like old guys still being able to rock, and I just love it. And I just love the way he does this wall of guitars, and he's got this unique voice that kind of mixes in with the whole wall of guitars, and it's just super cool. So,
all right, let's hear.
We're going to hear something. The new album is called Beauty and Ruin, and this we're going to start with I Don't Know You Anymore. Bob Mould.
The unmistakable stylings of Bob Mould.
It doesn't sound like anything other than Bob Mould, does it?
No.
And that's kind of cool, because nobody else can sound like that, as hard as they try.
That's right.
You know, he always used just one pedal. He just cranks his amp, and there's this one distortion pedal. It's called like a distortion plus or something. I think that's what it is. And that's it. But yet, it's just so great. It's sort of iconic.
Right.
You know? And I think part of this is, we've talked about this before, about, you know, how I'm always paying attention to the recording, and I always thought the old Husker Du stuff is just weird how it was recorded, and the drums didn't sound very good. Now I think the drums just, like, really kick on this, you know? And but it could also be that the drummer's just really good. I mean, it is just totally driving. So that's Bob Mould. Let's play another song now. I read a review of this album that said, you know, it's a good album, but there are a couple of missteps that don't fit in with the album, and those are the two songs that are not a total loud wall of sound. And this person was like, oh, those don't really fit. And I'm like, no, that's okay. You can, you know, you can do two songs that aren't like a super loud wall of sound.
Right.
If they're decent, which I think these are. So this is one of them called Forgiveness.
Sound.
Bob Mould.
Well, you know, I haven't listened to the whole album, but that song, again, Relative Isolation, sounds good.
So yeah.
I can't talk about whether on the whole album it... Oops. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard something there.
Hold on. Did you hear that?
Not just now, I didn't.
Okay. I just had Siri reading off something that my ear on my phone highlighted.
Oh.
And
there was something before.
Told her to read. So it read New York Mets win-loss record.
Oh. Yeah, you know, the Google lady will do that, too.
Yeah.
It's interesting to compare Siri to the Google lady, because you can ask the Google lady stuff, too.
Does she have a name?
I don't know. I call her the Google lady.
Google lady.
I don't know. She should probably have a name. Yeah, so, you remember, like, I remember Chris telling me that he liked this song, too. If I Can't Change Your Mind, remember that song? That was like a Bob Mould, like, kind of on par with the last one we just played, which is sort of like, it's not like quiet, it's got like a driving beat, but it's more of a, you know, not a wall of guitars.
Slowed down a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I always like that song a lot too. So,
yep.
You know, he can do it. He shouldn't necessarily just, you could just do a complete wall of sound on every song, and this album is like three quarters that, and he does it well, but I think it's good to mix it up a little bit. Okay, let's play another one. This is one, and another thing I like about this album is it's a, Turn It Up Loud in the Car album. So if you're in your car right now, turn this up. This is Little Glass Pill.
That rocks as advertised.
I was telling Grant that back in about 1980, music of that style was total cutting-edge punk rock, right? I mean, that was like thrasher punk rock. And
right.
And now it sounds more... Yeah, I guess Husker Du is a little more thrasher punk rock, actually, than that. But now it's like pop punk or something, right? It's like not hard to digest at all.
Right.
Whereas it, because it's not as cutting edge, but it's probably just the, you know, the era that I developed my musical taste, but I just think it's great. So it gets a high recommendation from Will.
All right.
That being me, the new Bob Mould album called Beauty and Ruin. So he's still rocking at age. I don't know. He's about my age. He's like, he's over 50.
A little older, I think.
Maybe he's over 50. We're pretty sure he's over 50. I guess now that we've raised that issue, we have to look it up, right? Because we have the internet at our disposal.
Yes. I'm going to guess he's 53.
Ah, that's pretty impressive, Barrett. 53.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to guess his birthday is August 12th.
Nope, October 16th, 1960.
Ah.
Yep.
Well.
All right. There you go. That's rocking. I'm just going to tell you that's, I'm declaring that that is rocking. And
if, it is.
You already know, people already know whether they disagree with me. So I shouldn't even say it, right? I should let it speak for itself. We should do what the Joe Perry Project said. Let the music do the talking. So I think that's what Bob Mould just did, though. I really think
yeah.
so. Okay. All right. Now, you've got a couple bands lined up, but
right.
because you're very studious, you want to make sure that you've
not
given them
ready.
The complete
right.
listen, right? And I was going to tell you that one of those bands, I probably listened enough to comment on, the other one I haven't. So I'm in your
okay.
same boat where, well, those two will be set over for a later podcast. And I've got two more at least that I'm very interested in, but there's one more that I can talk about today, and that is one that I've been listening for a little while that I really like. It's called Pop Strangers. One word, Pop Strangers. And this
Pop
is a
Strangers.
Yeah, they're from New Zealand. I think they might have moved to London. So they didn't move to Brooklyn, but still from New Zealand to London, that's pretty far, right?
That's a long
yeah,
way.
It's really long. I think they'd now, I could be wrong, and that would be very embarrassing to my music journalist cred, but I believe I read that. So wherever they are located now, they are originally from New Zealand, and they've earned the opportunity to travel around a little more because they're good enough to display their talents, to take their talents to various continents.
Yes.
So this is their second album. I remember I kind of liked their first album, and I think I like this one a little more. It's called Fortuna, Fortuna. Would that be Fortuna? I guess. That's what I'm going to say.
Fortuna or, yeah, Fortuna.
Yeah.
Like,
Fortuna.
More about like fortune than tuna fish.
Right, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah, but it kind of looks like Fortuna. So
yeah,
that's
know.
What the album is called. And it is, okay, and at first it sounds kind of like a variant of the sort of psychedelic Tame Impala kind of stuff. And then it turns a little power poppier than Tame Impala.
Mm.
So the first one is a little more of the psychedelic style. The first song, and it's very good, so let's play that. It's called Sandstorm. I was getting into the zone there. I was letting it play longer because it got me in the zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hypnotic.
It is a little bit, yeah. Pop Strangers. Okay, let's play one that starts to get a little more power poppy. Also good, I think, called Country Kills. So that's a little combination of psychedelic and power pop, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
I think it's effective. Pop Strangers. Check them out. Let's bring them to the U.S. I need to bring these guys to the U.S. I would definitely go see them. Let's book that gig at the High Noon, and let's just be done with it. Speaking of gigs at the High Noon, did you see that the band Fox, P-H-O-X, from our area, is like getting all this buzz now?
I know they did, like, South by Southwest.
Yeah, and
like
they
in 2013.
So they have an album coming out now, and they're playing at the High Noon, and they sold out two nights in a row at the High Noon.
I mean, wow.
The High Noon never even does like bands for two nights in a row.
No, I don't remember that ever happening.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I'm happy
that
for them.
That is cool.
You know, we'll see how good the album is. Chris was playing some of it for us on a podcast about what. It probably was about a year ago, right?
Right.
And I think they went and recorded an album in Bon Iver's studio. That's what you do if you're from Wisconsin and you want to get
definitely
big. We should record the podcast from Bon Iver's studio, right?
Yeah,
just go up there every week. We could just drive up to Eau Claire. It'd be a fun road trip, right? And
yeah,
we'd record the podcast up there. Bon Iver would sit there. Justin Vernon would sit there in the control room, right? And while we recorded.
Here's what we'll do. Push stop on the thing right now and let's drive up there and resume recording the rest of this podcast from there. Okay.
If he doesn't let us in, we can just park our car outside and record it on an iPod or something, right?
Right. Okay. Pause it and let's go up there.
Okay, we'll go up there. Okay. All right, we're back on location in Eau Claire, right outside of Bon Iver's studio. Well, you never know if that's actually true, but you wouldn't know the difference, so let's just maintain that.
I kind of was assuming that he would be here and that we wouldn't have to go in through the window.
Yeah, I know, but we had to do what we had to do, you know. So, yeah, it looks
kind of... He probably will be cool with it if he comes back, right?
Yeah. Looks kind of humble, too. I mean, it's like, it's got a Wisconsin feel to it, you know. Nobody's
right,
trying to be too showy. It's high-quality stuff, but it's kind of, it makes you feel at home, kind of like a cabin in the North Woods.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got the Neve console, right?
Right,
but
yep.
Then there's also taxidermy fish on the wall and stuff.
Yep.
To kind of, you know, like you said, make you, you know where you are.
He's got the 32
channel.
You're not
going to think you're in Los Angeles when you're in here.
It's only the 32 channel Neve console, not the 48. So,
yeah.
You know, he didn't feel the need to overdo it, but you're still going to get that classic Fleetwood Mac sound. I don't know. Do you think we sound kind of like Fleetwood Mac right now as we talk?
You sound kind of like Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah.
I was wondering why that was.
If I just get a 12 string acoustic out right now, I would sound totally, you know, and strum the thing really fast. Yeah. That'd be pretty good. But this puts me in the mood to play another song by Pop Strangers. Let's see how they sound from Justin Vernon's studio. We're going to play another track called Right Babies. Pop Strangers.
That does sound good here.
Yeah, it sounds... I think just feeding it through the Neve console made it just a little smoother.
You let that play a little longer, and that's because Will was actually going to see if Justin had any beer in the fridge.
Yeah.
And he's got Leinenkugels, which you kind of expect.
I was going to say that was kind of a no-brainer. Of course it's going to have Leinenkugel in there. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, well, we should probably get out of here before he gets back.
Yeah, it's probably a good
idea. What do you think? I got to drive back to Madison yet, too.
I know, and if he came in, he might think the wrong thing. Like we had done something improper or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know why we drove two separate cars up here either. It was kind of dumb.
Yeah, I had some good music in my car. I think I was afraid that you wouldn't want to play the cool music I was going to play.
Right.
And so I thought, I'm just going to keep my own stuff on in my car.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. All right. We'll pause the recording. We'll come back and record the rest in Madison. Okay. So we'll be right back. Okay. Boy, well, that was quite an adventure, wasn't it?
That was the, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was probably worth it.
I wonder if the listeners noticed any difference in like how Pop Strangers sounded through that Neve mixer. I think they should tell us if they noticed a difference. You know, Pop Strangers being from New Zealand, and regardless of where they've moved to or might have moved to, I'm just going to say they're from New Zealand. Don't you think that New Zealand has like a pretty good track record? Like they have kind of cool bands?
Yeah.
Do you think it's just because the ones that have sort of been distributed worldwide and made it to the U.S. just happen to be, you know, like pushed by certain people and there's a certain style that we like? Or do you think the percentage really is better? Like if you went to the clubs there? I wonder.
Yeah.
Sort of hard
know.
To know,
I don't
isn't
know
it?
What the answer to that is.
Yeah. Like different places get identified with different like types of sounds, and I wonder if it's just kind of random. Some of it's got to be kind of random, right?
Right.
Like if Prince never came around and, you know, he wouldn't have that Minneapolis sound that sounded like Prince, right?
Right.
Or if Husker Du and the Replacements hadn't come around, you wouldn't have like that sound. So it's sort of dependent on like one or two artists who popularized the sound and it happened to be from that area, right?
Right.
Like podcasts from Madison are known as being super cool because maybe people have just heard our podcast, so they just think that.
That's
whereas
true.
Maybe not
Everybody
all of them
is kind of riding on our coattails.
Not all of them might be this good. So, you know.
In fact, it's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Here's the serious question. How many podcasts have in Madison been going on for 5 years?
I was going to say
that have 250 episodes
exactly,
or so.
Because you could, well, you skipped ahead. I was going to milk that a little more. Because, you know, like, how many podcasts are recorded from Madison? Like, right now, if you went to the iTunes store, you know, in the last month, you'd probably find, yeah, I don't know, the local radio station has them and all that stuff. You'd probably find, what, 30 or something, right?
Yeah,
but
I can't even guess.
But how many have done 250 episodes in 5 years or whatever? We're not quite there. We should get there. We'll be at 5 years in a couple months.
Right.
So I think we're exclusive company here.
Right.
Yeah.
If they do a Madison Music Podcasting Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we're absolutely there.
We'd be like in the inaugural class.
Absolutely. We would be. Yeah.
We'd have to be.
But to most people,
just for longevity.
Right. But to most people, it's like, people are too stupid to know when to quit, right? <It's>
like, yeah, so, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's what we're like, the Red Hot Chili Peppers of podcasts.
Mostly notable for not having gone away.
Yeah, they could be. They're not very good, are they, the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No, they're the worst.
They're just not that good. Yeah.
They're the worst band in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have no redeeming qualities whatsoever. I think they're just garbage. I've always hated them a lot.
Yeah, I struggle to find a song that I actually like by them. So that's pretty bad. Yeah, I'm in the thumbs down camp on them too. Yeah, and we've talked about Primus before. We both hate Primus, right?
Yeah,
yeah. At least nobody cares about Primus anymore. You don't have to keep hearing about him. It's like Primus isn't going to play at the Super Bowl. You know?
Right. I played some of that for Wilson just to show him how bad music can be.
Yeah, what did he think?
And he was shocked.
Did he think it was terrible too?
He did. He was actually on the way out to see your gig.
Yeah, you played some Primus in the car?
Yeah. No joke. I mean, I don't remember what I was playing, something serious, and then he wanted to play some video game music, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just occurred to me, like, I don't know. Started playing random, weird, terrible things, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
So
you could make a playlist now that life is full of playlists. You could just make a playlist full of things that you just can't stand, and then you'd have it right there available. Have we ever done a podcast of just music we hate? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We've kind of previewed it right now. We know what it's going to be.
Worst
what do you think?
Music ever.
Chris always tries to be so positive, you know, and he's always like, you know, we should talk about music we like and we shouldn't, you know, the whole rock critic bullshit. Like, why even talk about it if you don't like it, you know, which is a valid point, you know. So I don't know if I've ever heard Chris like say, this is something that I hate. Right. Have you ever heard Chris tell you like what he hates? I don't think he's told us.
I don't remember what he hates.
He probably hates something that you and I really like, and he doesn't want to say anything about it.
You know what he hates? He hates the National.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be on his list.
Exactly. Well, then you're going to have Arcade Fire on yours.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't hate him enough, though. I don't know if there's enough passion.
No, I don't hate him enough. Not even close.
Yeah. So that would be a fun one. We should do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We'll just call it like terrible music or something.
It has to also be something that people kind of like.
Yeah.
Some people like. Like, we're not going to be like, oh, here's Anne Murray.
Exactly.
Isn't that terrible? Like, yeah, right. Everybody knows that's terrible.
Right. That's
but
not a challenge.
But it'd be something that's.
That
you know,
a substantial number of people like a lot or, you know,
and
like
that think
a reasonable
is,
amount.
Yeah, that think is cool.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah, that'd be fun. All right, we did fill the time. That's because we talked about things other than music for like the whole first half of the podcast. So
yeah,
that always helps.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. If anybody has like topics you'd like us to talk about other than music, we could probably do it. Right? We've talked about like, you know, mowing the lawn, and I mean, just
talked about your new grill. I got a new grill. We can talk about that.
Did you get a new one?
I did. Yeah, I just got like the regular 22.5-inch.
A Weber?
Weber.
Yeah, good old-fashioned. That's the way grills are meant to be made. Yeah, that's good old-fashioned for sure.
So, and then I got a cover, which I probably wouldn't have if we hadn't talked about it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to take good care of it.
Good.
So far I made burgers, shrimp, and salmon.
Ooh.
And it turned out pretty well.
Sounds great. Wow.
So, yeah, what if, yeah, we'll talk about anything.
Yeah, just give us a topic.
Talk about soccer. We have talked about soccer.
We have a little bit. Yep. And yeah, just about anything, because we're pretty much such well-rounded people that we can just talk about like
sports,
just about anything. Yeah.
Whiskeys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know,
technology, you know, we use like,
technology.
We talk about Apple products, you know, wireless routers. What am I looking at in front of me here? You know, cordless phones, printers, desktop computers. What do you want? You want a review of, the latest headphones, you know, I got some good ones.
Yeah, I can talk about game systems.
Yeah, we got dogs, cats, you know, we got a parakeet in the house. You know, whatever you want to know about, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
So let us know. Because we, you know, it does come from time to time, it comes about that we're a little low on the music. This is not one of those times. We're going to be fine for a while. But I remember hitting a lull. People stop releasing albums like at the end of October, right?
Right.
It's like you want to get it for the holiday season. If you can't get it for the holiday season, you're going to wait for January. That's the American economy. That's how it works. Like half of everything that's purchased is in November and December for to give people gifts. So that's how it works. So there's always a lull. So but maybe we can talk about, you know, lawnmowers and stuff then.
Yeah, be more of a...
We could be like consumer reports. Except it'd be like the everyday guy. You know, we'll be like...
Right, we wouldn't go through like...
It's like seat of the pants.
Testing and things like that.
Seat of the pants consumer reports, just our own gut reaction.
Right.
Who cares about the science? Yeah.
Take a look at the lawnmowers.
Yep.
You know, consider the color.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, like... Whether it sounds like it's cool, like a Toro leaf chopper. That sounds kind of cool.
Or so
that would probably get pretty high marks.
Or if you ever personally had one that didn't work well, then forget it.
Yeah.
Then no one should ever buy that ever.
No,
Right? Like if you had a car and you ever had a problem with it, then no one should ever buy a car like that.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing we're going to do. Yeah. Like don't, if you care about headlights, don't buy a Mazda CX-7. I've heard that.
No, get the 9.
Yeah.
Those have good headlights.
The 9s have headlights that are just flawless, and the 7s, you are just going to be like replacing those all the time. See, we
all
know, God, we have such great knowledge, just broad-based
knowledge. About every 10,000 miles, you're going to be replacing a headlamp.
Yeah.
On the 7, so.
Yep. Yep. Well,
also, when you store stuff in the back, the cloth that lines the back of the rear seats has a tendency to rip when you put something pointy in there. So there's another.
That should be a warranty claim for sure.
That's another reason.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And I could talk about buying cell phones on eBay sometime, too. That's called trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Not just trials and not just tribulations, but both of those things happen.
Right.
Yep. You ever notice that none of those ever happen by themselves? It's always together. You never have just trials or just tribulations. They're always both happening at the same time.
That's true.
Something I noticed.
There's another thing like that, another word. Two words that are always put together.
Yeah.
And they are, now I can't think. I don't remember.
All right.
Well, I'll think of it as the credits are rolling here.
You know, this is
contact
a total, this is a makeup podcast, because I did the podcast, I do the solo, I'm like, here's some music, I got some new music for you, here it is, and I play it, and then I say, okay, that's all I've got this week, see you next week, and then I get you here, and then here we go, you know, you want your banter,
right.
Here you go, you got it.
It's tough to do that by yourself, though.
Oh, you can't do banter by yourself because you sound like an idiot.
You sound like that's a monologue.
Yeah, like a radio DJ thing. That's just not good. Yeah. You got to have two people. Yeah. Or even if you have three, it's even better. But when somebody wants to watch the NBA instead, by the way, it's now a 10-point game. It's 90-80 with 9 minutes to go. So, yeah, you never know.
Okay. Wow. So they scored 19 points in the second half?
Yeah, the third quarter was 25-15, and so far it's 5-4 in the fourth. So, yep, that 75% shooting in the first half by San Antonio has definitely cooled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Must be the rims. They're having to shoot from the other rim now.
Right.
See, they were shooting on the loose rims. Exactly.
Now they got the tight rim on the other side.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Okay, we really should sign off. Now, next week, I don't even know if there's going to be a podcast. We might, I might throw up a really short one, or we might just skip a week, right? But then the week after that, see, I'm going to be gone for a whole week, so we can't really record next week to put one up a week later, because Grant and I will be...
So, in 10 days, you're not going to be back?
Right. I'll be back, I'm going to be gone for 8 days, and I'm leaving in 5 days, so I won't be back till almost 2 weeks from now. So I don't know,
we could split this up into two.
It's so good, we could split it. We just play this one twice, we just put this one up twice. Good, it's so good. People would be like, we'll put it up and then the following week will be like encore presentation. Listen to this one a second time. Yeah, so I don't know, we'll see. Probably it'll take me 3 days to edit this, because
right,
or maybe just the whole looseness of it would be better if I just didn't edit very much, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, well, anyway, we'll talk to you in 1 or 2 weeks. Grant and I will be in the northwestern United States, plus a little bit into Canada, so maybe we'll have some reporting to do on location. We'll see.
All right.
And I'm sure you and Chris will be doing interesting stuff too. So just imagine everything that's going to happen in the next 2 weeks and how exciting it's going to be.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's crazy.
I'll have gone
exciting.
To a Brewer game probably. And
yep. Probably.
Maybe cut the grass a time or two.
Yep. Worked a few 12-hour days at the coffee shop.
Yeah. That's why I didn't do it on this weekend. And yeah. So I still don't know what you said about Lucera and pains of being cured heart.
Yeah, you have to go back and listen.
I like the former pretty well, but I did not like the pains of being pure at heart.
I thought you might not, because it's really slick. It's slick and poppy.
It's very slick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like all of the, all of the rockiness was taken out of the other one.
Yeah, there's not much rockiness in it, but did you notice that there are, I mentioned this last week, but there are a couple songs that sound totally like the Smiths. And I just thought it was humorous how much they sounded like the Smiths. So you should go back and listen and see if you agree with me.
Yeah.
But I found it kind of oddly enjoyable in its kind of slick wimpiness. I still sort of liked it, but it wasn't really rocking. I'll agree with that. So, okay. Yeah, we better sign off. Is anybody going to make it? We've said this before, but will anybody make it to the end of this? If you have, we should give a code. So you win a Will's Band t-shirt or something.
Yes.
If you make it to the end. There'd be nobody. Then we'd be oh shit, nobody really did make it to the end. That would be bad, right? I don't even want to know.
Right, we don't need to know.
We can't offer anything because I don't want to know. I'm sorry. Right. I just don't want to know. So this is the contact information, and we will talk to you again next week with another edition. Well, maybe it won't be next week. Maybe in 2 weeks. We'll talk to you again sometime with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast from iTunes or any podcasting app. You can contact us directly by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on our webpage, willsband.net. You can also contact us through the social media, which means Facebook at facebook.com/willsband or Twitter at willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. You know, I think those guys who recorded the karaoke Black Sabbath, I think they were having fun. Don't you think? Like the guy's playing that riff and he's like, wow, I nailed that one. That sounded exactly like the Black Sabbath guy, right?
It does. Yeah, it does.
I think they kind of nailed it.